I just want to read three short expressions, please, that will be easily remembered. And the first is in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis and chapter 4 and verse 16. Now I'm reading just for the first expression. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Now turn over, please, to the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles and the 8th chapter. And at verse 39, at the close of the verse, concerning the Ethiopian eunuch, here's what it says. And he went on his way, rejoicing. Now finally, in Matthew's Gospel, please, chapter 25, and reading at verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now these are the words. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now the Lord bless to us what we have listened to, and the present reading of his word. These expressions are short, they're striking, they're searching, and they're very solemn. Isn't it interesting that at the very early period of this world's history, men are divided over the requirements of God? Even homes are divided today because of the person of Christ. And I was thinking of a word today that John tells us. He says there was a division of the people because of him. So every person in the world tonight, they really are in two classes because of him that you've been hearing about, the Lord Jesus. He divides all humanity. Multitudes have accepted him. They know their sins forgiven. Multitudes of them are already in heaven, and countless multitudes are still in the way. And then there are others on the way to hell. Because you know when you've got to do with the Lord Jesus, your choice of him depends on whether you'll be in heaven or whether you'll be in hell. It's a very solemn thing because the Word of God says this about Cain. Woe unto them that go in the way of Cain. Here was a home with two brothers, and the home was divided over the requirements of God. Now God required a sacrifice for sin, and Cain said, I don't need any. Oh, you say, but he brought a sacrifice. That is quite true. But his sacrifice had no acknowledgement of guilt or sin. And you know, the preaching of the gospel is used by the Spirit of God to alert people about the very thing that will keep them out of heaven, and that's the great matter of their sin. And when you come to the Word of God, how clear and definite the Spirit of God states it, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We sing an old hymn. We don't hear it as often as we used to. There is a city bright. Closed are its gates to sin. Not that defileth. Not that defileth shall ever enter in. So my friend, God says, sin can never enter into heaven. And that's the reason if you intend or expect to be there, there is one thing absolutely essential, and it's this, that you know your sins forgiven. And we sing betimes, oh, what can equal joy divine, or what can sweeter be than knowing that the soul is saved for all eternity. If God spares me to December, I'll be 50 years saved. Now, he may not. But if he does, I'll be 50 years saved in September. And I want to assure you they have been 50 good years. Every one of them bringing to me the consciousness and assurance that I'm ready for heaven. For I remember the night, it was a Monday night. That's the reason I love to preach the gospel on a Monday night. I love to preach it any night, but particularly on a Monday night. Because it was on a Monday night I got saved. No, I wasn't in a gospel meeting. It was in a little home yonder in the north of Ireland. I couldn't take you to the home now. It's all demolished. There's a garage there now. But I could nearly take you to the spot where one Monday night, about 9 o'clock, I realized for the first time that the Lord Jesus died for me. You say you never knew that before. I was simple enough to listen to men who told me that Christ died for the ungodly. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. My friend, I was always simple enough to believe the word of God. Many of you knew Mr. Lex Curra. He used to live in the city. Well, I remember when I was only a little lad and my mother sent us boys away to the Sunday school to get us out of the road for a while. And I can see dear Sandy Curra as he took John Ritchie's posters and he took us to the serpent and the pole and he took us through all those Bible stories. I can see it on the wall yet in the Gospel Hall yonder in Francis Street. Although I didn't get saved there. But I could see it next door to it. That was just as good. And you say, how did you get saved? I found out Christ died for me. And as I read those words in the man's Bible, as he put them into my hand, I was really, while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And that dear man killed in Ottawa just last year. The two men that were in that home that night, instrumental in leading me to Christ, they're both in the glory. Thank God I'll meet them shortly. And that dear man said to me that night, he says, what do you think about that? And I was simple enough to realize I was reading the unerring, inspired Word of God. And if God said Christ died for the ungodly, I said in my simplicity, dear George Ollie, he died for me. He says, what are you going to do about it? I said, I'm going to trust the man that died for me. He says, do you think you can give God thanks for sending his son to die for you? I says, I think I could. And I don't know to this good day what I did say, but I know this. For the first time in my experience, I give pleasure to the heart of God, for I thank Him for His Son. My friend, I want to tell you, your heaven depends on your relationship with a man who died at Calvary. And John said about that man, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. My friend, listen, if you're going to be in heaven, you must realize this, you must receive a sacrifice that God has provided sufficient to meet your need. Cain says, I don't want it. And he brought what he produced by his own hands. He brought the fruit of the ground. But my friend, I want to tell you this, and we may be absolutely sure about it. God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Not the labors of my hand can fulfill his law's demand. No, no, my friend. It's not what we do. Our heaven depends upon what has been done yonder at the place called Calvary. Now tell me tonight, if this were to be your last night on earth,
Oh, you say, I hadn't thought about it that way. My friend, multitudes of people today are in eternity, and they never thought this would be their last day on earth. It really makes little difference what I think.
That's the reason I'm so thankful to God I'm saved. Because we never know the moment when that call to eternity shall come, sure and solemn and stirring, take us away and not bringing anything else. God says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. My friend, where is your sin tonight? Your own door? If you were to say to me, what about your sins? I would say, my sins, oh, the bliss of that glorious thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole. They are nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. It is well. It is well with my soul. Cain went out, and God says, woe unto them that go in the way of Cain. Now his brother's in heaven, and Cain will never meet him again. Cain will never meet him again. God says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? God says, there's the provision. Lay hold upon it. By simple faith, claim it. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. My friend, do you know what God has been telling humanity from earth's earliest ages? That the only way in which I can find acceptance with God is in the death of another. And I tell you, every sacrifice that ever was offered, whether it was offered by Abel or upon Jewish altars, it was only pointing away down through the centuries until that moment came when on that hill lone and grey, the Lord of life and glory bowed his head in death under sin's heavy load. All my sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, I go free. Cain went out. From the presence of the Lord. And he'll never be in heaven. His brother's there. You say, what made the difference? Well, Abel took that little lamb and he offered it up. And do you know what he was telling God simply and eloquently? I deserve to die. But this lamb has died in my stead. You say, did God accept it? Of course. Do you know why he accepted it? Because that little victim was only the foreshadowing of God's lamb. We love to sing the Lamb of God to slaughter led. The Lord of glory see. Even this morning, many of us have sat down and in quiet simplicity, we have gone back over the ground as we have thanked God for his Son. And this morning, I want to tell you without any exaggeration, countless multitudes of saints went back to Calvary. And you know what they did? They thanked God afresh for the Lamb of God. My friend, tell me tonight, do you intend to be in heaven? Well, upon which grounds do you expect to be there? I tell you, if there never has been that moment in your experience, whatever else you may have, if you have no vital personal relationship with Christ as the one who died for you, my friend, I had no difficulty seeing that Christ died for me. I was ungodly. I was without God. I was without Christ. I was without a hope in the world.
And when I read Christ died for the ungodly, I realized if there's not another ungodly sinner in this town, I'm the ungodly sinner for whom Christ died. That's the reason I trusted him. There are many, many things I'm not sure about. But my friend, there's one thing that I never have had a doubt about. That when Christ died, he died for me. And I'm simple enough to know this, that God cannot lie. And if God says Christ died for the ungodly, then my friend, he died for me, and I trusted him. And not only within the word of God I have the assurance written, but I tell you within I have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Cain went out. Now you dear people will leave this meeting shortly. And if you're not saved, be very sure about this, that you'll go out from the presence of the Lord. You say this could be the last time? I don't know. But I do know this. There's no preacher that knows that book would ever give you the guarantee that you could be saved tomorrow. Not one that I know of. Although I do know of one who one night in the city of Chicago, he had preached in that text, "What shall we then do with Jesus?" which is called Christ. And Sankey rose to sing, "What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me?" And D.L. Moody told them to go home and think it over. And many of the people that listened to that question, "What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ," died in the Chicago fire. And Moody took himself into the presence of God, his own words. And he covenanted with God he would never tell a sinner there was another opportunity. Never. Because the word of God says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You say, was that his last opportunity? That was his last opportunity. I never read again he ever come into the presence of God. Never. There came the parting of the ways for the brother. In fact, he slew his brother. He was the first murderer. And no murderer has eternal life. You say, can a murderer not get saved? Well, I didn't say that. We'll meet many of them in heaven simply because they got to the same person as I got to for salvation. But no murderer hath eternal life in him, John said. Not while he continues to have the attitude, that attitude of a murderer. God accused the nation of being murderers of his son, and the multitudes of them saved, by trusting the very man that they crucified upon the tree, even though it was in the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. But Cain went out. I read to you in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, a terse, simple, stirring statement. What a wonderful statement it is. A man from another country, high in government circles. It says he went on his way rejoicing.
You say, that's a strange statement, isn't it? You know why? Because he laid hold of God's sacrifice. Do you know what the preacher preached to him? He preached to him Isaiah chapter 53. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah chapter 53. I remember about 9:05, I was reading that just before I could say it. Isaiah chapter 53. The Lamb of God to slaughter led, the Lord of glory see. My friend, I want to tell you that man was able to see, because he was reading, dissatisfied, he had been up to Jerusalem, the religious city, and it had given him no peace or satisfaction. And he was on his way home just as dissatisfied as when he had gone up. For you know, my friend, religion, I care not what character or kind it is, religion will never, never bring you peace. Never. But you know, God was gracious, and he said to Philip, go and join yourself to that chariot. There's a man coming through. Go and join yourself to the chariot. And that dear man, Philip the evangelist, all he said to him is this. He says, do you understandest thou what thou readest? He says, how can I except someone help me? They invited him up into the chariot. And I tell you, there was a Bible reading that resulted in a man's salvation. Wonderful chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, because it's brimful of the sacrifice of Christ. He went home a different way. He went home. He went on his way rejoicing. And mind you, he hadn't the privilege that Cain had. But Cain's never going to be in heaven. And that man, we don't know his name other than the Ethiopian eunuch. But I tell you this, he's going to be in the glory and we'll meet him. And he's going to be there on the grounds upon which I'm going to be there, upon the grounds of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Went on his way, rejoicing. I tell you, it's something to rejoice about. The consciousness of sins forgiven and acceptance with God. To realize every day my sins are forgiven and I'll never perish. That's enough to make a person rejoice. Particularly, my friend, when any day could be our final day on earth. And as you get older, you rise every morning and you think to yourself, well now, this could be the day. I'm saved, my sins are forgiven, and I'm ready for the glory. What about you tonight? Am I speaking to someone in the meeting, my friend, and you have no confidence like that? Well, I want to tell you this. My confidence and the confidence of every believer is based upon what God says, a God who cannot lie. You could have the same assurance, you could have the same peace. Cain refused it, and the eunuch accepted it. Cain says, I'll bring the works of my hand. The eunuch says, I'll rest upon what the prophet said about God's Lamb. And there in the chariot, he trusted Christ as his Savior. And finally, I read to you another expression in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. It's very simple, but it's just as searching and as solemn as the others. Says they went in. Cain went out. The eunuch went on. They went in. Why did they go in? Because they were ready. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. You
You know, my friend, when the Lord came the first time, do you know what He came for? He came to take sins away. The reason I remember this, because when I was just saved, I was very fortunate to be brought into a relationship with a little Scotch preacher by the name of James McKendrick. Remarkable little man who used to preach in his fingers. And I can see him yet. He said, when the Lord came the first time, it was to take my sins away. And when He comes the next time, it'll be to take saints away. Never forgot that. Oh, you say, that's not hard to remember. No, it's not, is it? When He came the first time to Calvary, it was to take sins away. When He comes the next time to the air, it's to take saints away. Are you ready? You say, when is He coming? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. But you say, when? I couldn't tell you. That's the reason I'm ready. I couldn't tell you. I could give you no guarantee that He wouldn't come tonight. I could tell you this. My friend, there's nothing to hinder Him coming tonight. Oh, you say, but there's prophecies? We are not looking for prophecies being fulfilled. Prophecies will be fulfilled after the church is taken home and the church is comprised of every soul in this present dispensation, this present gospel age that trusts Christ. We are not looking for prophecies to be fulfilled. We are waiting for a man from heaven. And He can come at any moment. I use the scripture because it's just applicable to you tonight, as it will be to a people when we are gone. Be ye also ready. For in such a time as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. What will happen? They that are ready will go in him, will go in with him to the marriage and the door of the ship. I want to tell you just now, on the authority of the Word of God, it's wide open. There is a door stands open wide, and through its portals gleaming are radiance from the God of light, the God of love revealed. My friend, you could go in tonight. You could get in through that door and be sure of getting in through it. Heaven's door. We used to sing, ere long, that door will close and seal thy doom, then that long, long cry, no room, no room. They that were ready went in, and the door was shut. Are you ready for the Lord's coming? There were many of those birds that weren't. While they busied themselves, my friend, to get things in order, it was too late. The door was closed. And they were on the wrong side of a closed door. Be ye also ready. For in such a time as you think not, such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. If you were to trust Christ tonight, you'd be like that man in the desert. In the knowledge of your sins forgiven, you'd go on your way rejoicing. That man in the jail, his greatest desire was to be saved. And he cried out in his dilemma and danger, sirs, what must I do to be saved? they said in unison, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. A boss that I worked for in the aircraft factory asked me one day, he says, why do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I said, Mr. Biddy, the reason I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is because he did something for me that no other person could do. He died for me. That's the reason I believe. The Lord bless his word.